Part 6 Ralph Farmer's book called Satan Enthroned in His Chair. His Principles Follow, which is a title suitable to himself, who is discovered by the children of the day to be Satan's seedsman, as he has declared to the nation. But he does not touch those who are in the truth, love, and peace. Principle, he said, we do not pretend to infallibility as you do, which is lying and hypocritical. Answer. We do believe you, that you are not in the infallible spirit of God, but in the false fallible spirit gone out into the world, that went forth from the apostles, who had the spirit of Christ. Unless you are infallible, how can you be ministers of the spirit and not of the letter? For those who are in the spirit are in what is infallible. This I say, none are ministers of the spirit, nor in the spirit, nor have the spirit of Christ, nor the Holy Ghost, nor the spirit of the Father speaking in them, except those who have what is infallible and are in what is infallible. And they are in the lying spirit and hypocrisy who are out of it, as are all the false spirits that are gone out into the world. So you do well to confess that you do not have the infallible spirit. You are not infallible, and so no ministers of the spirit. You can only delude people who are fallible, who are none of Christ's, and who do not have the spirit which is infallible, and you are not ministers of the gospel, which is the power of God, which is infallible. Infallible may sound out of reach to anyone. But Scripture shows us a true saint is perfect, holy, righteous, and pure. He knows all things and judges all things, so being infallible is part of the whole being that is controlled in thought, word, and deed by the infallible Spirit of God. At the conclusion of a man's purification on the inward cross of self-denial, Jesus unites with that man to form an entirely new creature, created in God's image of true righteousness and holiness. The new creature is infallible. Principle, he said, we were foretold that false teachers that shall bring upon themselves swift destruction, and evil men and seducers which wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, should come. And there should come false Christs and seducing spirits, and the doctrine of devils, seeking lies and hypocrisy, such as deceive the hearts of the simple with their feigned speeches. See pages 39-40. Answer. Have you not brought forth here your ignorance of the Scriptures, which say the seducers and the false Christs and the false apostles, the doctrine of devils and the feigned words and fair speeches, which deceived the hearts of people, came up before the apostles' decease? And do you not in this show your spirit to be that spirit that went out into the world, not able to divide the word aright? But are telling people they have just now come, when the apostles saw they had come before their decease? Among whom, since the days of the apostles, all the confusion has been, and you who deny the light are in distraction. Yet you who are not infallible, who are not in the infallible spirit, but in the fallible spirit, are crying to people, they have just now come, and so you grow worse and worse. You and the priests of Newcastle, and many of the rest of you, are crying against those who say Christ is their example. And yet many of you have published to the nation in print that Christ is an example, and the men are to be respected who speak them words about Christ, and not the words simply as they are in themselves. And that is partiality and respecting of persons, not the truth itself. Principle. He said, if we will only acknowledge their ministry and church according to Christ, he will write a recantation. See page 53. Answer, your church and your ministry have made themselves manifest not to be agreeable to the prophets, Christ, and the apostles. For you say you are not infallible, and do not have the infallible spirit. And you say you never heard the voice of God directly from heaven, which the prophets, Christ, and the apostles did. And how can you be ministers of the Spirit, who are not in the infallible Spirit, but the false Spirit gone out into the world? You are such as are ravened from the Spirit of God, and only have the sheep's clothing, and so cannot gather to the church in God, but make the nations like waters. And you must recant before you ever come into the ministry of God, which the prophets, Christ, and the apostles were in, and to their church, and to own the light that enlightens everyone who comes into the world. Principle, he said, the wise men of the East came to Christ by a star. Page 64. Answer. You say, the Scriptures bring to Christ. But the Jews had the Scriptures, and did not come to him, nor knew him, who were out of the Spirit that gave them forth. And so are you by your confession, and so do not come to him. Principle, he said, a man is not justified by what is within him, and see page 65. Answer, we are justified by faith, which is a mystery held in a pure conscience that purifies the heart, and this is within. And here again you have shown your spirit to be that which went out into the world, which was reprobated concerning the faith held in a pure conscience, without which men are not justified. And so you are broken into heaps, into sects and opinions, who are out of this faith which is a mystery held in a pure conscience, by which people have access to God, through which faith they are justified, in which is unity. And it gives victory over sin, which sin you plead is impossible to conquer while you are upon the earth. Answer: as for all the rest of your stuff in your book, it will be your own garment, and you will feel it a heavy load and a burden, whose nakedness might have been covered by your silence, but your spirit must be tried. I say, the Lord forgive you, for a heavy charge has come upon you, for instead of seeking the peace of all men, you have made yourselves manifest to be neither ministers, nor fathers, nor elders, nor sober Christians, but wolves that tear and rend to pieces. Indeed, the ragged righteousness of men, the world's clothing which hangs on your back, you may have, but the elect and the saints and the Lamb's clothing, the righteousness of the saints, you cannot touch, but the Lambs are laying down in the fold. Magnus Bind's book called The Scornful Quakers Answered. His principles follow. Principle, he said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false spirits have gone out into the world. Answer: must you show your ignorance of the letter Scripture? You show so much a man unlikely to divide the word aright. For Christ said, false prophets would come, and antichrists, that would be inwardly ravening wolves who had the sheep's clothing. These John saw had come before the apostles' decease, who went out from them, and all the world went after them. And they could not have deceived the world, if the wolf had not had the sheep's clothing upon him. You may read in the Revelations how they ravened and devoured and drank the blood of the martyrs, saints, and prophets. And so you who are crying to the world, they have just now come, are the deceivers of the world, as you may read Matt 7:15-20, 1 John 2:18-19, Rev 13:17, and are not dividing the word aright. For now people are coming out from them, and coming to Christ the rock, the foundation of God, and to that spirit which you have ravened from, which stands sure, before the world was made, out of the waters. For the nations are like waters, and the false spirits, the false prophets, and the mother of harlots have ruled, and with the sheep's clothing have deceived the nations. But now the Lamb and the saints shall rule. Since you have confessed that you do not have the infallible spirit, as the prophets, Christ, and the apostles had, so we say you are raven from it, and only have the sheep's clothing. The prophets, Christ, and the apostles had an infallible spirit. Always outside of these were the false prophets, antichrists, devils, deceivers, the mother of harlots, and Babylon, though they might get the sheep's clothing. Principle. He said, it is filthy blasphemy to say, the Spirit of Christ who dwells in the Son, dwells in man, and he must be infallible, and he must be perfect and sinless, and said, let them alone to their father the devil. See his epistle to the reader. Answer: he who does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his, and whoever has the Spirit of Christ has what is infallible, and this is out of the Spirit the devil is in. And those who were not in the Spirit, and are not in the Spirit that dwells in the Son, though they have all the Scriptures, are in the spirit of blasphemy, which will blaspheme against the Son. And that is where you are. And the false spirits that are in the world are on heaps about the sons, the prophets, and apostles' words, out of the infallible spirit of those who gave them forth, who were perfect and sinless, as in Rom 6:22 they were made free from sin. The apostle said they were perfect, and he spoke wisdom among those who were perfect. And you deny this who are ravened from the Spirit of God, and the one offering which perfects forever those who are sanctified, and so are the unsanctified. Principle. He said, there are many ways to Zion. Answer. There is only one way to God, out of the fall into the paradise, to the tree of life, out of the condemnation, and that is Christ the light, the covenant of God. Now with the light the way to the Father is seen. In the first Adam are many ways, fighting about their ways and destroying one another about their ways. But Christ the light, the way to the Father, teaches otherwise, to love enemies and to do good to them, and to overcome evil with good, and heap coals of fire upon their heads. Which way is the only one way, which you who deny the light are out of in the many ways and names, horns and heads and images, which is the beast's number, raven from the Spirit of God, and from the one way, Christ the light, in which is unity. Principle, he said, the Scripture may be understood by the help of tongues, page 12. This man is saying that studying Latin, Greek, and Hebrew will aid the understanding of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit can reveal understandings in any language, but Bible colleges teach from Hebrew, Greek, and Latin biblical texts, desperately trying to discover the true meaning of the scriptures. If the Holy Spirit was helping in Bible study, Greek, Hebrew, and Latin would not be needed, proving Jesus and the Holy Spirit do not teach you while reading the Bible. In 1456, before the Bible was printed, there were far less than 100 sects in Christendom. 500 years of studying the Bible later, there are 41,000 sects. It is man's fleshly mind, rather than the Holy Spirit, that controls learning from Bible study. For the Holy Spirit's purpose is to have oneness of faith, yet there are 41,000 sects in Christendom, each with a different set of beliefs in what the Bible really means. This is massive evidence that studying the Bible creates the opposite of what the Holy Spirit desires, one faith, and does not result in truth. Instead of Bible study, we need to be taught directly by the Holy Spirit by listening, who desires and promises to teach us all things. John 14:26, answer. All scripture was given forth by inspiration, and so without the same inspiration it is not understood again. Pilate had the tongues different languages, and yet did not understand the scripture, nor Christ the substance of it. And these your tongues, you have set up since the apostasy, you raveners from the spirit. Principle, he said, tithes is not his infirmity, the Lord has given him tithes, and he takes them as the Lord giving him maintenance, and it is his liberty. Now he claims the Lord gives him his tithes, and it is his liberty. Tithing died when Christ's priesthood replaced the Levitical priesthood. Look for tithing in the New Testament. The only reference is to the self-righteous Pharisee and its death in Hebrews 7. Here are the many fallacies of tithes. The Levitical priesthood is the only priesthood to be commanded by God to collect a tenth of the product of the land. Priesthoods before or after had no such command. To be a priest to collect tithes, you had to be a descendant of Levi. Land limits tithing to grain, cattle, oil, fruit, etc., the product of the land, because God had given the land to the Jews. He wanted a portion of the land's production to provide for the Levites, who had no land given to them, and to provide for the poor. Tithes were collected by Levite priests only in a named place, selected and specified by the Lord. Since the produce was food, the people were supposed to eat the food with their children, servants, and any Levites living within the boundaries of their lands, with thanksgiving and rejoicing to the Lord. And this celebratory Thanksgiving meal was supposed to be eaten in a place specifically chosen by the Lord. After eating in celebration to the Lord, any excess was to be placed in a storehouse, the location also chosen by the Lord, to be distributed by the Levites to the stranger, the widow, and the fatherless, the provision for the relief of the poor. Money was not part of tithing, with one exception. If the distance to the location chosen by the Lord was too far to travel with the tithes of food, the food to be tithed was to be sold for money. Then the person was to travel to the location, with the money buy whatever food he particularly enjoyed, and then eat the food in celebration as in for above. Most important, Christ eliminated and abolished the Levitical priesthood. He became the new priesthood. So the command given to the Levitical priesthood was eliminated also. Christ eliminated tithing, just as he established the new covenant. For more detail on tithing, see tithing and the beginning of tithes in the law and the ending of tithes in the gospel. You can see that a preacher asking for tithes is dead wrong, does not know his Bible, and has no contact with the Holy Spirit whatsoever. Even if a preacher asks for money or wants a salary, Scripture speaks very strongly against them and warns them of sudden destruction. Answer. Tithes to the first priesthood were allotted by God, but Christ, the second priesthood, ended that priesthood and tithes and the priests who took them, made by God's law, and disannulled the commandment that gave them. And Christ has come, the everlasting priesthood, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, the similitude in whom the similitude ends, Christ the end, the substance, the end of war. So you who take tithes are out of the substance of Melchizedek and the first priesthood that took tithes in the transgression and in the imitation, and the veil is over your heart, and your liberty is bondage in the unsanctified state. But the sanctification is in the Son of God, who ends types and similitudes, and it is he who sanctifies, and whoever preaches the gospel, lives of the gospel. And the Pope has given you your tithes by his command, and not by the command of the Lord, for Christ and his apostles established them not. Principle, he said, that the scriptures are the sure word of God, and that the scriptures are a precious light, page 17. Again, he said, the Son of God is the first principle of the pure religion. If scriptures are a precious light, how can scriptures have enlightened every man that comes into the world? Because scriptures are obviously not available to every man in the world. But the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Light Christ, is available to every man in the world. Scriptures are not the light. Scriptures are not the Word of God. And the Word was God. John 1, 1. Would this man be so ignorant as to admit that a subset of the scriptures is his God? Or how about this one? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, Heb 11, 3. Scripture framed the worlds? How ridiculous. Answer. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Son, and He is in the Father, and He is the author of the first principle, and the end of the law, for He is all and in all. For many have something from Him, yet cannot say He has come. But he who has Him has life eternal, has the substance, the end of things. And the Scripture declares and testifies of the light, which is Christ. But many may have the Scriptures and stand against the light, for they are those that testify of me, the light. So Christ is the precious light, and the Scriptures are the words of God. But Christ the Word was before they were given forth, the Word in whom these words of God end. So you may see your ignorance. Principle, he said, while we stay in Sodom, we crucify the Lord of glory, and Christ is buried in us. Answer. And John Bunyan, a teacher there, fights against him, and thus they are not only against the truth, but one against another. But he must know the suffering of Christ in the spiritual Sodom in him, and see the seed that suffers there, before it rains, and he reigns with Christ in glory. Principle, he said, it comprehends our suffering in the flesh after his example. Page 21. Answer. At this, the priests of Newcastle and John Bunyan and many others of the teachers of the nation rage, and here you are against one another. But Christ said, why do you persecute me? And he was in prison, and it is your work to put him in prison. Principle, he said, he has the tithes of two parishes, and it is the old man that minds the earthly things. Page 23. Again, he said, and those who take tithes are not Antichrist. And the scripture is a choice vessel of the Lord's sanctuary, and it is the letter and the history. And see page 25. Answer. Well, may people all be in confusion when you say the scripture is a history, a declaration, the letter, a vessel, the choice vessel of the Lord's sanctuary, a light, and yet the word of God. Now is this not to break people to pieces? The scriptures of truth are the words of God, and they are called a declaration, a narrative, and a treatise. And the choice vessels were those the holy men of God, who gave them forth, vessels of mercy and of honor. And those who take tithes and pay them are out of the substance, Christ, who is the end of tithes. For he is the sum of tithes, and all other figures that pertain to the first priesthood, first covenant, and of all similitudes. So you taking tithes from two parishes has the mark of the old man. For the apostles preached up and down in many synagogues where the priests were, yet they did not seek for the tithes that belonged to those who pertain to the first priesthood. They preached the gospel and lived of the gospel and said, they were evil beasts who minded earthly things, of whose spirit you are found, judged by the word which is Christ. Principle, he said, he is called by men master through man's courtesy, and calls them blind and sinful and in error who speak against it. Again, it is not oppression in him to take tithes of two parishes. Page 28, 30, answer. Here you have come under the woe of Christ, who said, woe to those Pharisees who were called by men master, and said to his disciples, it shall not be so among you, for you have all one master, which is Christ, and they abode in his doctrine. And we do not read of Mr. Paul, Mr. Peter, Timothy, or Titus, or Mr. James, or John, but among you, the apostates, we read of such titles. And you set up what Christ, him by whom the world was made before it was made, came to fulfill and end in the world, which typed who cry them up, and builders up of that which Christ ended, so transgressors, not having the Son nor the Father. And they do not bring the glad tidings, for the jails may witness in the nation that glad tidings are not brought, and the courts and the oppressed parishes in which you take triple damages of many people who you do not work for and cast into prison. And so this is not the gospel, this is not the glad tidings. Principle, he said, I do not find this power of binding kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron, which is the honor of the saints. This scripture I do not find fulfilled. See page 35. Again he said, a saint may be found in what is sinful, though this man, the Quaker, will not allow of sin. Again, the people of God are more than conquerors in the Lord, which gives them rest and peace in the midst of their wars. Again, hope keeps the soul groaning and waiting all the while in the earthly tabernacle. Rest and peace comes after the believer's wars against sin, pride, lust, anger, etc. The rest of the Christian is to rest from fighting the enemies of his soul, to rest in the kingdom, like the Jews rested in their promised land after fighting and killing all the heathen's peoples in Canaan. Peace is quietness and confident assurance forever, which does not occur in the midst of wars. This man, like all of Christendom, doesn't have a clue as to what the rest is, and even if they read about it here, they would deny it, for it comes after perfection and purity, which they deny being possible. Blind guides, dumb guides, lame guides, deaf guides, guides taking your money for bread that isn't the bread of life. Answer: I know the power and spirit and sword of the saints that executes the judgments to bind and chain and fetter kings and nobles. You are out of it, but it is now among the saints. And that scripture is fulfilled, yes, in England, among the saints. And those who are more than conquerors see the end of wars and what causes wars. He who is a conqueror may be in the war, but he who is more than a conqueror is in what takes away the occasion of wars and has come to what was before wars were. And he who has this hope, which is Christ, has what purifies himself even as he is pure and comes to witness the kingdom of God that stands in joy, peace, and righteousness, and so is not always groaning in the earth, under the earthly tabernacle, while he is upon the earth, but comes to know the body of sin put off, and a being made free from the body of sin. And a saint is not sinful, neither do the saints ever allow or approve of sin. He who allows and approves of that is out of the sanctified state. Principle: notwithstanding your passing the first and second resurrection, as you say, there remains a torment for you at the last day, and woe, page 42. Answer: those are blessed who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but are made free from the wrath that is to come, and have passed from death to life, and are translated into the kingdom of the Son of God, and are in unity with the Son of God and the Father both, and so you utter forth lies. Principle: he said, to declare against those who are called of men master is a matter of his faith. Answer: they did not have faith who were called of men master, whom Christ cried woe against, nor the Jews, neither do you who break his commands. Principle: he said, the spirit that declares in the letter keeps me from vanity, frees me from the law of sin and condemnation. He denies anyone can be freed from sin, and that if he sins, he doesn't feel condemned. In other words, he thinks the letter saves him from guilt of committing sin. He is worse off than the heathen who never heard of God because at least their conscience is still alive. But this man, thinking Jesus is his excuse for immorality, the lying doctrine that began 2,000 years ago, has sinned and lied in hypocrisy until his conscience has been seared as though with a hot iron, just as was predicted by the Spirit to Paul, as he wrote to Timothy. Answer: the Spirit that was in the saints that gave forth the letter freed them from the law of sin and condemnation and kept them from vanity. The Spirit is not in the letter, for many may have that, and not the Spirit, and all are in sin and vanity, and are not freed from the law of condemnation, as only those who are in the Spirit are freed. Principle: he said, they are to feed the people, who are ordained over a particular place, over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers, and they are covetous wretches and worldly who keep back their tithes. And he receives no more wages than what the gospel allows. And he is a thief who keeps back the hire from the laborer, and the Lord gives man tithes as a portion in the earth. See pages 57, 58, 59, 60. Answer: the Holy Ghost made the apostles and elders overseers of the church, but you have been made overseers by men, by the Pope, by your schools and colleges. So thus you deceive the people by telling them the Holy Ghost made you overseers. For you say you do not have the same infallible spirit as the prophets, Christ and the apostles had, as witness Samuel Eaton in his book and several others. Tithes were allotted by God to the priests and Levites, and people in the first covenant and priesthood, and they were robbers who kept them back. But Christ has come, the everlasting covenant, who ended the first covenant, tithes, and priesthood, and blots out the ordinances. Therefore, those who are covetous will take them by violence from the people. But those who have come to the gospel allowance, freely you have received, freely give. What they set before them, of that they are to eat, preach the gospel, and live of the gospel. These triumph and trample upon the first priesthood, types, figures, and shadows. See that the priesthood is changed, the ordinances blotted out, the commandment disannulled that gave them. Witness the one offering for the sin of the whole world, and are of the royal priesthood. such as these cannot pay tithes. Covetous persons and worldly people may take them, who are apostatized from the apostles, by whom the true seed is oppressed, who went forth from the apostles by a usurped authority, under whom you are sheltered for your tithes, which were set up by the Pope's authority. But now you are seen and judged by those who have come to the same spirit of apostles, which spirit you departed from. Principal, he said, the Lord has given tithes for the maintenance of the ministry of this nation. Again he said, this light within is turned into utter darkness. Pages 62, 65. Answer, it has been the Pope and the apostates from the apostles who have given tithes. It is those who are ravened from the spirit that the apostles were in who take them, for the apostles took none. Their fruits in the nation declare it. If they will not give the priests tithes, how they cast them into prisons and dungeons until death. Christ's maintenance the apostles witnessed. Freely they had received, and they gave again freely. And he who preached the gospel lived by the gospel, and coveted no man's silver, goods, nor apparel. But do you not covet men's silver and goods, when you take triple damages from them and cast them into prison? Is this not the work of the ministry of the nation? Has not the overflowing scourge of the Almighty gone over you? Has not the rod and the lash come upon you all? Again, the light within has led to the light of life, and leads to the light of life, out of utter darkness, in which those of your generation are seen who stand against the light. So all you apostates are overwhelmed in the apostasy since the days of the apostles, who are out of the allowance of Christ, his wages and maintenance, the giving freely, which shows they have not received from God, but buy and sell, yes, and for great sums too. And so are the merchants that John speaks of in the Revelations. And this cumbers the creation, yes, nations. You do not bring the glad tidings to them, but burden them. You are seen and felt. Principal, he said, away with your bodily, fleshly, literal trembling and quivering. See page 70. Answer. Habakkuk's lips quivered, David's flesh trembled, Daniel trembled, Paul trembled, David's bones quaked. And the Lord regards that man who trembles at his word, though he is cast out by you and your generation in this age, as in the days of Isaiah. So you and your generation who say, away with trembling of the flesh and body, say, away with the power of God that throws down what defiles the flesh. Before sin is condemned in the flesh, and the powers of darkness wrought out of it, you must know trembling. You and all your generation, before the devil is dispossessed of your earthly tabernacles, you must know trembling. And you and your generation have shown your ignorance of the mighty power of God, the salvation that is wrought out with fear and trembling. And of that power that in all ages threw down the nature that captivated the seed of God and defiled the flesh, and darkened the understanding, the sense, and reason, and warred against the soul, you have shown your ignorance of that power by which the body, soul, and spirit come to be sanctified. And before this is so, you must know a bodily trembling and shaking, but he cries, away with it before ever he came to it, lest he should be tormented before his time. Who is one of those who were ever against the holy men of God? But the power of the Lord God has overtaken you, and with that are you comprehended, and you are in the press, and your cluster is full, and the sickle is gone out. Principal. He said, the priesthood has changed, but the tithes are not abolished by the coming of any substance. And he who keeps back the tithes of God has preferred his mammon before his God, and is guilty of the sin of Ananias. And denying to pay tithes is weakening the bands of the ministers. And God in wisdom has provided by an outward law, in the absence of the inward, for the maintenance of the ministry by tithes or other maintenance, and so they own a tribute to God. And so they must pay tribute, and custom to whom custom is due. Again he said, custom, tribute, tithes, etc., love will teach these things are due, therefore do not covet another's portion. This man dares to compare someone not paying tithes to Ananias who lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter, and the church, pretending to give the entire sum from the sale of a piece of property. In effect, he is threatening death by the hand of God to those who don't pay him his tithes. Perhaps you can appreciate why blackest darkness is reserved for his type. Answer. When the apostle had spoken of tithes before the law to Melchizedek like unto the Son of God, and spoken of tithes to the priesthood made by a law that had a command to take them. He said the priesthood was changed, the law was changed, the command was disannulled that gave tithes, the Son of God was come, the end of the similitude and likeness before the law. Now, he said, the sum of the things, tithes were things before the law and in the law, which we have spoken is this, Christ a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle that God has pitched and not man. So there is the sum of the things, and the substance, and the plenteous redemption, which leads men out of the earth that brings them to lay down all at the feet of the apostles, which is beyond tenths which were due to the service of the Lord. Here the earth comes to be known to be the Lord's, is given up, and man redeemed out of it. You are all ignorant of this glorious gospel. And so tithes are not to be compared with Ananias, and not to be viewed as a tribute, but as a custom which has gotten up since the days of the apostles, in the apostasy. The nations having drunk the whore's cup, and kings and queens, that had gone out of the power of Christ which the apostles were in, into the beast's power, have made schools to make their ministers, and have made laws to set up tenths. So this custom of the sin has taken away the sense of it, so that people have been so hardened that they have torn people, spoiled their goods, and cast them into prison, and taken triple damages, and kept them in prison, and haled them before courts and sessions, assizes and benches. Which is not like the ministers of Christ. For the law has changed from God that gave tenths, and since that was to change, the law is in the heart, and a new covenant. And since the apostasy men have gotten the sheep's clothing, ravened from the spirit wolves whose fruits declare it, who have deceived nations and the world and have gotten up a law from man, and a command from man, the Pope being the author. The law and command of God are changed that gave tithes, and they have gotten up the law and command of man to take them, and the law of God and his command are denied, as spoken by the Apostle, Heb 7. But all who are in the wisdom of God see over these things, and feel over them, and judge you all, and execute judgment, and are in the power and authority to execute judgment, and convince all, and are in the honor of saints. So your ministry, if tithes fall, is weakened. But the ministry of Christ came in when tithes fell, and that ministry fell that held up tithes, and that priesthood during which the priest's lips were to preserve the people's knowledge. So by the fall of that ministry that took tithes, the ministry of Christ came in. The rise of this ministry that is made by kings, bishops, popes, schools, and colleges is since the days of the apostles in the apostasy. Tithes falling, the hands of this ministry that takes tithes, you say, is weakened. It is not, therefore, the power of God that strengthens the hand, but the earthly. Now I say, in the fall of the maintenance, which weakens this ministry, you have shown what you are covered with, and in the fall of this is the rise of the Lamb and his ministry, the preaching of the everlasting gospel. And the everlasting gospel shall be preached to those who dwell on the earth, which is the power of God. And though the devil and the beast and the false prophets and the kings of the earth do make war against the saints and the Lamb, yet the saints and the Lamb shall get the victory. Principle. He said, Christ without the church does not comprehend all the elect, and we are not elected, though we receive Christ, because we are elected in him. See page 80. Answer, you are meddling with things too heavy for you. Christ is the elect whom God upholds, and the election obtains it. The victory, and Christ knows his, and said he had other sheep, and he knew all the elect. And he is the wisdom of the Father, the light, the life, and the power of God, the offering, the sacrifice for the whole world, the redemption of mankind. And those who receive him and are in him are the elect and out of their own works and have possessed him and his image and glory. They have come to the throne of grace. He is in all and over all, the salvation to the ends of the earth, and those who are elected receive Christ and are in him. Principle. He said, your denial of sin, and Satan and Antichrist to be where they are in power and part, is the old trick of the evil one. Page 83. Note, this man accuses those who deny sin, those who stand for purity, those who stand for loving enemies, those who stand for the necessity of perfection, those who stand for all the scriptures. He accuses them of being a part of Satan. So those who testify to the destruction of sin within them, those who tell others they also can become free of the burden and grief of sin, are from the devil. While this man who admits to being captive to sin, who offers no hope of freedom from sin, is supposedly God's minister. Answer, those who have come into the Lamb's power have come out of the power of the beast, sin, and Satan, into the city, the paradise of God, where no unclean thing enters, but the tree of life is the food. And they are atop of sin, Satan, and Antichrist, and all your tricks, and witness against all sin. Principle, he said. When the dissolution comes, he says farewell to all the saints of God. Page 94. Again, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Page 89. The false prophets take 1 John 1, 8 out of context. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, and say that proves no one can ever be without sin, ignoring the next statements and ignoring the context of the process of purification being referenced. To be purified, you have to have sinned to start, or purification is not even necessary. John is referencing sin that is to be destroyed, not carried to the grave. Look at 1 John 1, 8 in context. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1, 7 John in the very next verses explains how Christ's blood purifies us from all sin. He said, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We start as sinners before being cleansed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. 1 John 1, 8-10 When you examine these verses in lieu of the verses before and after the above three, this is the meaning. We go to the light, Jesus, to quietly listen and watch, hoping for purification by his blood and grace. If we go claiming to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, have no humility, and get no help, the truth is not in us. If when he, the light, shows us our sins and we confess them, he will forgive and purify us. But if when he, the light, shows us our sins, and if we claim to be without the sin he has shown us, thinking he is not the truth, thinking whom we hear to be a liar, we have thus failed to repent of our sins, and his word fails to be planted in our heart, so that it can control us in the future. Thus we have rejected Christ. But if we accept his conviction, confess, and repent, and him the word or light as truth, his word stays in our heart to keep us from sin. This is how we accept and receive Christ. We believe the light that shows us our sins is Christ. We believe in Jesus' answer. The saints are in Christ and God, and at the dissolving of the earthly, or sin, they do not tell all the saints farewell, for then they come into unity with them, with the elect. And John shows there was a time to see they had sinned, and a time to see they had sin, and a time to confess it and forsake it, and a time to witness the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin, a time to witness the birth of God-born, which does not commit sin, and the seed of God remaining in them, that the wicked one could not touch them. Principle, he said, the saints are neither in the fullness of the Godhead, nor part, away with the blasphemy that said this. See page 92. Answer. The work of the ministry was to bring people to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the unity of the faith, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, and Christ will dwell in the saints, and God will dwell in them. And you say they have no part of the fullness of the Godhead. But John said, from his fullness we have all received, in whom dwells the Godhead bodily. And you are all in the blasphemy who are out of this part of the fullness. Principle, he said, the Quakers know whether a man is a saint or a devil as soon as they see him or hear him speak or act, and they are beyond all our forefathers. And the apostle said, what man knows the things of a man, saving the spirit of a man that is in him? So you are not as Christ in this respect. And you say, you are as Christ in this present world, and no man can be without sin in this house of clay. And say, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me, and my flesh is sin's freehold. Pages 94-95. Answer. Here you have showed that the Quakers have a spirit given to them beyond all the forefathers since the days of the apostles, in the apostasy, which we do witness. And those who are in the power and the life of truth can discern those who are saints, who are devils, and who are apostates without ever speaking a word. And the natural man does not know the things that are in another man, but with the spirit within him may know what is in himself. But the spiritual man searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Here you have made no distinction between the spiritual and natural. And as Christ is, so are we in this present world. And where Christ is manifest, he destroys sin in the flesh. Here they come to be as he is, they come to be above clay and mortal and fading, and so the flesh, which you call sin's freehold, comes to be put off, and the body of it, and they come to be made free from the law by the body of Christ. And the creature comes into the liberty of the sons of God. And this the saints witnessed while they were on earth. And as you were born in iniquity, you show you were born unregenerate. There were some sanctified from the womb, there are some children who were clean, who are believers. He who can receive it, let him. So you are an ignorant man, not able to divide the word aright, nor can you minister to the people, not knowing the condition they are in, unless they tell you, and so are apostatized from the apostles, and not one of the ministers of the Spirit, who minister to the Spirit. For could the apostles not preach and speak to the Jews and Gentiles, unless they came and told them what condition they were in? Or did all the Jews and Gentiles come and tell the apostles what condition they were in before they preached to them? Principle, he said, the light in man is imperfect, a weak, faint light, page 97. Again, the light in the Gentiles is called a natural light, page 88. Answer. The light that every man has that comes into the world is not an imperfect light, a weak, nor faint light, nor a natural light. But those who are weak go from it and faint and hate it and despise it like Esau and run into the earth. But those who believe it have the light of life, and those who receive it become the sons of God. And the light in the Gentiles which brought them to do the law was spiritual, not natural, whom the apostle sets up to be the circumcision and the Jew inward, and throws out the Jew outward and circumcision both. And this brings to have praise from God, which the Jews did not have in the outward, and makes the Jew no Jew, and their circumcision no circumcision, and judges them, and all professors upon the earth who are away from that which does the law in their heart, and the Jew inward. And you are away from that, who stand against the light of Christ who enlightens. And see, the Bible makes a clear distinction between the natural light of the sun and moon, and the light of God or Christ. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light of it, Rev 21:22-24. The sun shall no more be your light by day, nor shall the moon give light to you for brightness, but the Lord will be an everlasting light to you, and your God will be your glory. Isa 60:19, principle, he said, if any hypocrite reigns, his power is from God, and saints are to yield to the power, and it must be honored and have obedience from the saints, page 101. And so those who call them corrupt magistrates are the filthy dreamers that Jude speaks of, page 102. Answer. Those who have turned into corruption and are hypocrites have gone from the higher power, which the soul should be subject to, and it has gone over them. And so for the Lord's sake the saints cannot be subject to that power, but to the power that brings down the hypocrisy and the corruptions in magistrates. And as they come to be clothed with the power of God, they are able to put a difference between the precious and the vile, and the saints own that. Those are a praise to those who do well. The Jews of old time, who feared God, who lived in the law of God, could not obey the heathen magistrates, bow to their gods, nor to their commands, nor their power or authority. Nor could the apostles bow to the authority of the Jews, to their ordinances which Christ came to put an end to, nor the power that held them up, nor that among the Gentiles, held up by the magistrates. For Christ had come to reign, who had all power in heaven and earth given to him. And since the days of the apostles, the saints cannot bow to what the Pope and kings and queens set up in the apostasy, though they may call it a supreme power that commands the things. But those who are in the power of God, it destroys what defiles the flesh and the evil speaker, and that is the dignity which the saints own and live in, and do not speak evil of, but those who do so transgress the Spirit of God and go from it, and are such as Jude speaks of. Therefore the martyrs, saints, and prophets have suffered since the days of the apostles by the beast, the false prophets, and the great whore, which have been in the power of the devil who went out of truth, and that the saints were not subject to. But now Christ has come to reign, and the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. And the higher power is owned, that is higher than all the transgressors upon earth, that reaches to the soul, and the transgressed principle of God in every man upon the earth. For the beast's power has set up your tithes, temples, and colleges, and compelled men to worship it, which the saints could not do, and therefore have suffered by it, who have worshipped God in the spirit and truth, that the devil is out of, and such were in the higher power. Principle, he said, there is a kind of infiniteness in the soul, and it cannot be infiniteness in itself, page 103. Answer. Is not the soul without beginning, coming from God, returning into God again, who has it in his hand, which hand goes against him who does evil, which throws down what wars against it? And Christ the power of God, the bishop of the soul, who brings it up into God, and who came out from him, has this a beginning or ending? And is this not infinite in itself, and more than all the world? Principle, he said, the soul is a creature, and yet it is a noble power and an essence and is the appetite fancy. Again, he said, he knows that the soul is a spiritual thing and cannot be divided into parts and powers as being one single entire essence, page 107. Answer. The soul is in the death in transgression, so man's spirit is not sanctified while the soul is in death. And fancy, appetite, anger, pleasure, etc., which you say are usually taken for the soul and called the soul, are the lusts that wars against the soul. Thus you divide the soul, which is one, into parts and are ignorant of it, and yet you have said it cannot be divided. So you are in confusion in Babylon. The soul comes to life, and the spirit is sanctified, where diligent hearkening brings to where the counsel of God is stood in, his voice heard, his hand felt, which the soul comes up into, which comes from God. That is living and immortal and gives a creature its feeling and sensibleness to divine things. Thus the covenant of God comes to be received in which the soul lives to the bishop of it, who is immortal, and then that birth of the new creature is known, by which the spirit of man is sanctified, and the God of the spirits of all flesh is known. Now where the power and life guides up to God the Father of life, that works down and directs the mind up to God, the immortal to the immortal, by which light springs, Christ is known, and the soul praises God the Savior, who has regarded the soul's low state and has reached down to it. Now where the light is hated, and that of God within transgressed, which pertains to the righteous law of God and answers it, the spirit of man is not sanctified. And man's understanding being darkened, the higher power is denied, the soul comes into death, transgressing of the law is known, the witness is buried which should guide the mind, by which the soul should live in the diligent hearkening. By this man comes to be defiled, and his spirit and body and mind, by which he does not glorify God in his body, and soul and spirit, and does not glorify the God of the spirits of all flesh. Thus he comes to be an alien and a stranger to the life of God, and his ways and covenant. And you say, the soul is a spiritual thing, and yet a creature, an appetite and fancy. Every man that comes into the world, although they are in the first Adam, have a light from Christ the second Adam, the bishop of their souls. So everyone being turned to the light which Christ the second Adam has enlightened them with, they shall see the bishop of their souls, Christ the power of God, who is immortal and brings the immortal soul into the immortal God. Christ is their sanctification, who sanctifies their spirits and bodies and brings the soul up into God, from whom it came, by which they come to be one soul. For in the lusts of the world, and the affections of it, is the war against it, and there are the powers of wickedness. The soul must be in the higher power, higher than the flesh, which stains the man, spirit and body, and the powers of wickedness. So the light being turned to, man receives the Spirit of God, which sanctifies him, the Spirit of sanctification in Christ Jesus, the sanctification and redemption. So every man that comes into the world has a light from Christ Jesus, the way out of the fall, the second Adam, and receiving the light he receives his redemption and sanctification, by which his spirit, body, and soul are sanctified. Principle, he said, the binding of Satan shall not be by a personal reign of Christ in a body. He said, the Quaker denies the light written in Scripture, and said, when you pretend most love to Christ within, and light within, you deny the Lord who bought you, and the high talk of a light within goes out forever into utter darkness. Answer. Whoever owns the light within, and Christ within, and have come into it, own the Lord who bought them, Christ, and no other. And those who do not receive this within are reprobates without him, yet talk of him like the devils and false prophets and lack the garments, the lamb's clothing. And so, he who believes in the light within has the witness in himself, does not abide in the darkness, nor in the condemnation, but has the light of life. And the light within that shines in the heart, gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Whoever knows Satan bound, and the false prophet, antichrist, beast, and mother of harlots taken and cast into the lake of fire, know Christ to reign and know his bodily presence. They know his flesh, and are of his flesh and of his bone and his spirit and mind and power, who is all power in heaven and earth given to him. They are over the devil, over the antichrists, false prophets, beast, and mother of harlots, reign above their power, triumph, and tread upon their power. And this is known by the light within. Now Christ reigns in his saints, and the paradise of God is known, and Eden, where all things are sanctified and blessed and good, where there is no curse but blessing. He who went out of this, earthly Adam, transgressed and disobeyed, which brought the death upon all his posterity. But those who have come in through the obedience of another, the second Adam, Christ Jesus, who became the curse, and took away the curse, who is the sanctification, and brings the blessing and redemption, by and through whom many have entered into the paradise of God, and have the right to the tree of life. Those who are still in the disobedience have not come into this paradise. The unbeliever, liar, reviler, whoremonger, and adulterer hate the light in the disobedience and cannot touch the tree of life, for the sword turns every way upon them. And as for all your hard expressions and revilings in your book, they come from the disobedience, over which is the sword that keeps it in awe, over whom goes the higher power, and that cannot touch nor taste of the tree of life in the paradise of God, in the Ancient of Days. You shall feel my words to be truth. Robert Simpson, Robert Parnell, John Andrews, Thomas Ewan, Brian Hansen, and Richard Moon, in their book called The Church of Christ in Bristol Recovering Her Veil. Their principles follow. It is a true word to you. You are recovering the veil more than the life and substance that takes away all veils, as your principles in your book make manifest. Principle, you say, now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And also from your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things and draw many disciples after them. And they went out from us, it is manifest they are not of us. 1 John 2:18-19. Answer, you have brought these words to show your ignorance, for the apostles saw such as would depart from the faith, and the false prophets and antichrists that Christ said would come, John saw were come, and went forth from them before the apostles died. They went forth from the church and departed from the faith, in which faith the church had unity, and this they apostatized from. They have had the sheep's clothing and so got up an imagined church with a veil on it in the apostasy. And these were those who drew disciples after them, who caused the way of truth to be evil spoken of. And the seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils have been up since the days of the apostles, which they saw come in before their death, and such went from the faith in which is the unity. And thus they are in the enmity, destroying, persecuting, and imprisoning one another about religion, church, doctrine, and scriptures, and Christ's, the prophets, and apostles' words, which shows they are out of unity with God and with the scriptures, and there is where you are, and out of the faith that works by love, by which they should heap coals of fire on the heads of all the adversaries. And so this is the dawning of the day, the ending of the night of apostasy. You who are of the skirts of the great whore are seen, as you have manifested yourselves by the tale you have told to the world in your book, who style yourselves the Church of Christ, which is made up by the letter. How you lack the life the saints lived in, who gave forth the scriptures. Oh, you lack the covering of the Spirit of the Lord God. Now, having departed from the faith, you are the false spirits and false prophets that Christ said would come, that would get the sheep's clothing, but be inwardly ravening wolves whose fruits should declare them, which John saw had come, which went forth from them, which led the world after them, and the false apostles and Satan's ministers and messengers, which the apostle saw come up before his decease. These, since the days of the apostles, have been the guides and leaders of the world, and teachers and gatherers of people into names, into heads, into horns, by which one has been against another. They have gathered people out of peoples and brought people to a head and not to Christ, and yet all have professed themselves Christians. So they have had the sheep's clothing, but inwardly ravened from the Spirit of God, and so have been wolves, tearing the lambs to pieces, yes, and many goats and beasts too sometimes, whose fruits have sufficiently declared them since the days of the apostles and in this nation. These have deceived the world and have been the wrestlers against flesh and blood, strikers at the creature. Such as have departed from the faith, ravened from the Spirit, gone forth from the apostles, had the sheep's clothing, have been the teachers and gatherers into sects and names and heaps, and every one will cry, His church! His church! And all are against the light that comes from Christ, in which the church stands. But now he is redeeming and recovering what has been lost, since the days of the apostles, in this night of the apostasy. The light has come, the night is gone, the Lamb and the saints are going on conquering and to conquer. The throne of the Lamb is set up, and all those false prophets, beasts, antichrists, mother of harlots, great whore, and kings of the earth, and the devil, are making war against the Lamb and the saints. Now all the Antichrists are appearing and are in arms and rising against Christ and his light. The Lamb is on the white horse who slays with his sword, which are the words of his mouth, and the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. Glory in the highest, and rejoice, you holy prophets, over her. Principle, they say, the mystical body may sometimes be subject to distempers and humors and wants. See page 1. Answer, are you judges? Can you judge of the mystical body that the saints are baptized into? Are there humors, wants, and distempers in the body into which the saints are baptized? Are they not in your body? Do you in this divide the word aright or distinguish things in the ground and speak correctly of things? And yet you would not be judged and say, judge not. And is not mystical, spiritual, principle, you say, the scriptures are the word of God? Answer, the scripture itself said, the word is God. Christ's name is called the word of God. And the scriptures are words, the words of God, the words of Christ, the declaration which the ministers of the word set forth, which words end in Christ the word who fulfills them. And they are called the scriptures of truth that cannot be broken, and so you do not speak as the church did that gave forth scripture. The Spirit of God was the rule in speaking forth the scriptures, which brings to know the right use of them again. Principle. They say, to call that light in every man Christ is to slight Christ's glorious person in heaven and to nullify it. Answer. In this have you not shown your ignorance? Are you not of those who went forth from the apostles, and so are hardened from the spirit they were in, who said, Christ is all in all, that enlightens every man that comes into the world? And none see the person of Christ in heaven, but those who are in the light that he has enlightened them with. Yes, the covenant of light to the Gentiles and heathens as well as Jews, and so God is not a respecter of persons. And all who are away from this light are now making war against the Lamb and the saints, and the accuser of the brethren is cast out, and the light that enlightens every man who comes into the world is Christ. Principle. They say, it is a delusion for those who are in the light to see what men's inward states are before God. See page 29. Answer. Have you given yourselves the name Church of Christ, and is there not a spirit of discerning among you? Have you not manifested here that you are harlotted from the Church of Christ the apostles were of? And how can you minister or teach people if you do not discern their states, how they stand before God? How can you commend yourselves to every man's conscience in God's sight? How can you present the souls of men to God and see not how their states are in his sight? How can you have fellowship in the Spirit? How can you, or any, minister to the state and condition that people are in and see where they are and not know how they stand in God's sight? In this, how you have shown your ignorance of the scriptures and the epistles written to the saints, which speak to the state and conditions the saints were in. You have a name, but how you have declared yourselves dead from the life. How you have stained your own glory and marred your own beauty and set yourselves out of the steps and paths of the Church of Christ. Principle. Simpson said, if my heart deceives me not, I could wish that God would recover you out of the devil's snare. See page 40. And you speak of breaking of bread and ordinances and the Lord's Supper and baptism. See page 35. Answer. The prayers of the faithful who are in the Spirit are acceptable, but he who doubts does not know his own heart and prays without discerning, being out of what purifies it. And for baptism and ordinances and the Lord's Supper and the bread that the saints broke, you have all been ignorant of them in this night of apostasy since the days of the apostles. Paul told the Corinthians, what he had received from the Lord, he delivered to them. And as often as they ate that bread and drank that cup, they showed forth the Lord's death till he came, and they were to do it in remembrance of him. And afterwards the apostles wrote again to the Corinthians and told them, the light that shined in their hearts would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, and said, since we do not look at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, bread, wine, and water are seen, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And tells them to examine themselves and prove their own selves, and said, do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you, unless you are reprobates? Principle, he said, he has been a preacher of the gospel at Bristol and Wells, and he has no need to seek a proof from any man. See page 43. And he said, I am no preacher, to tell every man turn to the light within him, neither did I ever read or hear that any of the apostles or holy men of God preached such a gospel. And they said of Sarah Latchett, who had been one of them and was excommunicated, it was best to send her to Bridewell Prison. Answer. This was not the work of the ministers of the gospel, to wrestle with flesh and blood, which is your way. And in the sight of God, they had witnesses and they could seek them, which you say you do not need. They turned people from the darkness to the light, and Christ told them, believe in the light while they had it, that they might become the children of the light. And the apostles' doctrine was that the light that shined in their hearts would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And this you have never heard of, as you say. And your gospel that is not this and does not agree with the apostles is another and so accursed. And the saints were one another's letters written in one another's hearts, read and seen by all men. And you have been a bad preacher at Wells and Bristol, who do not know the light. Principal, they say, a man may be a Christian, a believer, a converted soul, he may be in Christ, and yet not have received the spirit of sealing and establishing. Page 53. Answer. This is like the rest of their doctrine, who, being out of it themselves, are not able to judge of the state of babes, believers, and converted souls who are in Christ. For those who are in Christ have the Spirit, and those who are converted by the Spirit. He who believes and obeys comes to be sealed with the Spirit of promise. Principle, they say, the light in every man is a notion, and yet say they seek God by prayer solemnly. And they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, that told all men turn to the light within them, and from the believing on the person of Jesus Christ. Page 60. Answer. None open the kingdom of heaven to all men, but those who turn people to the light, which Christ Jesus has enlightened every man with that comes into the world. And no one believes in Christ, but he who believes in the light which Christ, the light, has enlightened them with. And such have the witness in themselves, and can set to their seals that God is true, and they see their sanctification, justification, and redemption. None ever pray the acceptable prayer of the Lord, but those who are in the light that comes from Christ, and these do not call the light a notion. For all notions are among those who are out of the light, with which Christ enlightens every man that comes into the world. They are away from the rock, the foundation, and sanctification, and do not see Christ. And this is not to deny Christ, but receive him and believe in him. And all upon the earth are antichrists, who deny the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, and are away from it. Principle, and as for your speaking of judging, and not to judge before the time until the Lord comes. Answer. That was spoken to the Corinthians, and the apostle adds, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the heart? Now the same apostle said to the same Corinthians, that God would dwell in them and walk in them, and they were not to judge before the time that he had come. And he told them the saints should judge the world, and the world should be judged by them. Now where the Lord has come, those who have the Son and the Father and bring this doctrine, they are to be received, and they know where sin and transgression are finished and where it is standing. So if any man has an ear to hear this and can receive it, let him. Judge not, so that you are not judged. This includes not judging yourself. But this does not mean that you cannot judge what is evil behavior versus good. This does not mean that you cannot judge doctrine in error versus sound doctrine. Rather, you are not supposed to criticize someone else or yourself in particular, because your criticism is passing judgment on someone else. This does not mean that you cannot write or speak about something in general being wrong, a lie, error, or sin. It just means you are not supposed to criticize someone else in particular. When you have sufficient Spirit of God within you, you may be prompted with words from God to pass judgment on someone else in particular. But that would not be you judging, that would be God. Just like Jesus did not judge himself, by myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear, John 5:30, whatever I speak is just as the Father has told me to speak. John 12:49-50. The Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord, but he, the Son, is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. John 5:19. The reason you can't criticize others is because every man has a tangle of problems, and only the Lord knows which problem to address with a man in what order. You may see an obvious problem, but you cannot see the many others that are not apparent. And it is likely that there are other problems that must be addressed and repented from first, before the problem you see can be addressed. Only the Lord knows the order to address these problems in each man, and only the Lord can give the person strength to become different. So until you are prompted by the Spirit of God as to exactly what to say and when, and until the Spirit of God is standing by to impart strength to that person, any criticism is totally ineffective. When you criticize others, you are only hardening their hearts from hearing the true judgments of God, and so you incur condemnation in proportion to the problems you cause. Ephraim, the word of the Lord within, never speak critically of any individual or any organization, no matter how deserving of criticism they are. You are particularly not to judge someone outside the church. Per Paul, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he will be helped to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Rom 14:4. But as for those inside the church, you're supposed to be careful to not associate with those who exhibit continued lawlessness. But now I write to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater whose soul is devoted to anything that usurps the place of God, or is a person with a foul tongue railing, abusing, reviling, slandering, or is a drunkard or a swindler or a robber. You must not so much as eat with such a person. 1 Cor 5:11. Now if you are forbidden to even eat with them, how much more worse is fellowshipping with them? And the Lord tells us how to deal with someone in the church who is sinning. They are supposed to be warned by one person, then warned by two or three, then censured by the whole body of believers, and if they fail to repent of their error, they are supposed to be expelled and shunned. Matt 18:15-17. Now when you are spiritually mature, enough to follow the voice of the Lord's promptings in real time, with his instructions for judging, you judge because he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. 1 Cor 2:15. And as for the rest of the things in your book, your silence might have covered your shame. For every man's words shall be his burden. Therefore, he who has the word of God speaks what shall be so, which now comes to be richly known, and is known among the saints and believers, the true church which has come out of the apostasy, since the days of the apostles, to that which the apostles were in. Jonathan Clapham, a laborer of the gospel, as he said, and William Jenkin, their book to the Protector, called A Discovery of the Quakers' Doctrine. Their principles, etc. Principle, he said, I dare not say that I am infallible, as the Pope and the Quakers. And the magistrate in this external politic kingdom is a mediator, though he is not an officer or magistrate in the spiritual kingdom of his church. And if this is received by magistrates, that they have nothing to do with the worship of God, Christ is little beholding to them, then they may protect the worship of Mahomet as well as Christ's. And yet you say that the magistrate is the officer of Christ. See his epistle to the Protector. Answer. How is it then, if the magistrate is no officer of the church, that you make use of magistrates to imprison, to persecute, to give you tithes, and to quench the spirit when anything is revealed to another that sits by? Were not the magistrates in all ages stirred up by the blind priests, prophets, and teachers to persecute and imprison those who they judged to be blasphemers? And so, did not all the saints in all ages suffer, not as for truth, but as for blasphemy? Yes, by those who had the form, covered with the sheep's clothing. The Quakers, who were spiritually mature enough to speak from words supplied by the Holy Spirit, were sent to many sect meetings to speak to the people who were assembled to supposedly worship God. Usually they were arrested and imprisoned, even when they waited until the preacher was finished. They also asked the preacher if he subscribed to 1 Cor 14:30, which said if anything is revealed to another that sits by, whomever is speaking should cease and yield speaking. It was the priests who insisted that Pilate crucify Jesus. It was the priests who insisted that Paul be persecuted. It was the Episcopalian, Baptist, Presbyterian, and Congregationalist ministers who incited the magistrates' government officials to imprison, seize property, and even execute the early Quakers by hanging. See persecutions for the details. Now the magistrate who is in the power of Christ is beyond an external kingdom and sees over the kingdoms of the world. And as he is a help governor for Christ, he is a member of the church and knows who worships God and who worships idols. And those who worship God are in the power of God, in what sees over all external kingdoms. That is the higher power which the soul must be subject to, and that is the true magistrate. You not being infallible, are not in the spirit, and so are not a minister, and are not able to judge of powers, nor magistrates, nor kingdoms, nor churches. For whoever is in the infallible is in the spirit that Christ was in, and the apostles and prophets who gave forth scriptures. But we say that you, nor the Pope, your elder brother, in the apostasy from the apostles, are either of you infallible, nor in the infallible spirit that the apostles were in, but you are both erred from it in the apostasy, as your fruits declare. Principal, they say, the magistrates are to protect the church from the ravenous wolves, for you are to stop the freedom of the Quakers in your dominions and their license, and the Lord bless your highness. See his epistle to the protector. Answer. Before, you said they were not officers in the spiritual church, and now would you have them limit and quench the spirit? Now you would have them to be your executioners by telling them the Quakers seduce people. You have manifested your own spirits, that you do not have the spirit to resist their spirits, but are crying to the magistrates. Did John ever tell the saints to call to the magistrates, to the outward powers of the earth, to try seducers, or did the saints do so? Have you not manifested yourselves to be those who cry, "Help men!" against Christ and the saints? And you cry to the mountains to cover you, crying to the magistrates, "Help men of Israel! These are the men that will turn the world upside down, and so go to the arm of flesh." Have you not shown your spirits to be those who would come, who were inwardly ravened, who John saw had come, and to be the wolves in sheep's clothing and the blasphemers, those who you cannot tear yourselves, you would have the magistrates to tear? But the Lord has opened an understanding among many of those who see you. Principal. He said, "We dare not contest with the Quakers. They teach men, by minding the light in the conscience, to attain a moral righteousness, that is the highest. And as if they had accomplished it wholly now, and not to be fulfilled in another world." See Epistle to the Protector. Answer. We do believe that you are not able to resist the Quakers, who have appeared in what cannot be shaken. Therefore, is it not a shame for you to say you are a church and ministers, and to say the magistrate is no officer in the spiritual church, and yet run to the magistrate and tell him you dare not contest with the Quakers, and bless him if he will only stop them? Do you not think that the magistrates will see you in these things? And the light that Christ, the righteousness of God, has enlightened every man that comes into the world with, leads man to the end of the righteousness of the law, that comes to be fulfilled in all its righteousness. And so the light is too heavy for you and too hard for you, and it is the precious stone you stumble at. And things fulfilled in another world, the prophecies, the parables, the types, the figures, the shadows, the gifts, the revelations, the dispensations, these things were manifested in this world. Whoever comes to Christ, who is the end of all, comes into the power of the world that has no end. What is there to fulfill there in the world that has no end? Things are to be fulfilled in this world that does have end, and thus you have shown your ignorance. Principal, he said, the scripture is the word of God, and said, Christ is not properly the word, but figuratively, page 3. And the scripture is in more proper sense without figure called the word of God. He said, without the scripture we do not know how to worship God aright and serve him, and in this attain to eternal life. This man claims scripture shows how to worship God correctly. Yet this man cannot even observe the form of worship that the scripture instructs. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, by the words of Christ dwelling within your heart, one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Call 3:16. How is it then, brothers? When you assemble together, may every one of you have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification, but not brought already prepared, rather all was received in the meeting from the Spirit. Let 2 to 3 prophets, those inspired by the Spirit to teach or preach, speak, and let the others judge what they hear. If anything is revealed to another that sits by, let the first cease talking so that the second may declare his or her revelation. In this way you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. For the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of order and peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Cor 14:26-33. So he cannot even observe the form above. But of course, not unless the worship is in the Spirit, not unless all who speak are in the Spirit, with words from the Spirit, for God is a Spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Again they say, God is not pleased to use this way of direct revelation now. Neither indeed is it the work of God's Holy Spirit to discover things to us now directly. Page 5. Note the arrogance of this man. He has had no direct revelation, and since no one else possible could be more spiritually mature than himself either, therefore he claims all revelation has ceased. There are many ministers and sects today that have the same arrogance. God doesn't speak to false prophets. God doesn't speak to teachers who do not teach the truth. God doesn't speak to blind guides leading others into the pit. God doesn't plead with Satan's duped ministers. Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Forever hasn't expired yet, so since Jesus spoke in spirit extensively to the early church, he still speaks today. If we are doing our best to not sin under our control, we are not teaching, preaching, or witnessing, we are not supporting Babylon with money, attendance, or labor, we approach him with the humility of a sinner needing his changing, purifying grace. We will stop talking and running our minds in order to listen for his voice. We do not go demanding he provide specific answers. We let him decide the agenda, and we have patience to wait, perhaps for weeks or months, before we hear a word from him. Jesus warned us about blind guides who were unperfected disciples. Jesus warned us about uncleansed, unpurified, hypocritical leaders who outwardly appear righteous, but who are hypocrites whose hearts are full of wickedness and iniquity, sin. So how many perfect and pure leaders in Christendom do you know of? Then there should be no surprise that Christendom is in such shambles. From the word of the Lord, just like Judaism was taken over by the enemy, so has Christianity, which is corrupt through and through. Answer. Christ's name is called the Word of God properly, and not figuratively, and more properly than the Scripture, as in the Revelations. And the Scriptures are the words of God, and words that Christ the Word fulfills. So it is proper to call the Scriptures the words of God, and proper to call Christ's name the Word of God, and the Word that became flesh. That is proper Scripture. And those who did not have the Scriptures worshipped God before the Scriptures were written, such as Abraham and Enoch and others, and they attained to eternal life. If people have all the Scriptures and not the Spirit that was before they were given forth, they lack the standing rule. They cannot know the Scriptures. They cannot worship God correctly. They cannot find eternal life. They do not have unity with God. Neither do any worship God aright unless they are in the Spirit that gave them forth. We do believe you, that you do not have direct revelations now by the Holy Spirit of God revealing things to you directly. And you say it is not the work of God's Spirit now, nor the way of God now, etc. You who have ravened from the Spirit of God inwardly, have been the wolves that Christ said would come, which John saw had come, whom the world has gone after, and you have burst into names, and heads, and horns, and sects. And the power was given to the beast, and the false prophets, and the great whore has corrupted the earth. All nations have drunk her cup of fornication, and the kings of the earth. So they have fled to the kings for help against the saints, and against the Lamb, but the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. And so when you have been ravened from the Spirit of God, it has not been likely you should attain to direct revelation by the Spirit of God. But now those who have come to the Lamb have come to that you have ravened from, they witness direct revelation. They have come to that which the apostles were in, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, they witness direct revelation. Those who have come into the fear of God, the things of God are revealed to them. Those who have come into the Spirit of God, it reveals the deep things of God to them. So you who deny direct revelation by God's Holy Spirit now, and discovering things to you directly, you have shown your spirits to be the false spirits, unclean spirits that are in the earth, like the frogs that go out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet, which was discovered by John, and revealed to John, discovered and made manifest. And now with the same Holy Spirit of God are all you apostates revealed and discovered to the children of the light, to the lambs and the saints, who witness the Spirit of God which reveals the things of God to them and direct revelation. The false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, in their false prophecies and teachings, who had gotten the form, ever denied the power and direct revelation by God's Holy Spirit. And was it not they who cried to the powers of the earth for help against the saints in all ages, which were discovered and judged by the Spirit of God, and must go into the fire? Continue to next rebuttals. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God in his kingdom.